This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 367 and three quarters, down 7 3/4. March corn, 381 and a quarter, down 8 1/2. May corn, 389 and three quarters, down 8 1/2. January soybeans, 995 and three quarters, down 21 and a quarter. March soybeans, 1003, down 21. May soybeans, 1010, down 20 and three quarters. December wheat, 605 and a quarter, down 1 1/2. March wheat, 603 and a quarter, down 3 1/2. May wheat, 608 and three quarters, down 3 3/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended lower on Tuesday afternoon. Lack of demand and favorable weather conditions in the South and South America weighed on grain prices today at the Board of Trade. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 5 to 6 cents at 334 to 363, while soybean bids lost 21 cents at 960 to 986. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 5 lower at 342 to 363, while soybean bids were off 21 to 22 cents at 968 to 1006. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 6 cents at 344 to 368, soybean bids 9 to 20 cents lower at 977 to 1015, and the wheat bids today ended mixed, ranging from 515 to 574. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 11 to 26 cents lower at 10.01 to 10.06. Basis ended mixed, ranging from 5 to 10 over the January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 418.10 to 433.10 per ton, down $1.30, with basis steady, ranging from 35 to 50 over December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 9 cents at 363 to 379, with basis steady, range from 18 to 2 under the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 8 to 11 lower at 362 to 367, with basis mixed, range from 19 to 14 under the March. Soybeans down 23 cents at 1002 to 1013, with basis 2 cents lower at 6 to 17 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 3 to 7 lower at 393 to 396. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices 9 to 21 cents with quotations at 1041 to 1043. Soft red winter wheat up 1 to 2 at 603 to 614, and the Milo ended 9 to 10 lower at 432 to 436. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop, January delivered corn range from 341 to 361. January soybean bids range from 958 to 988. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 341 to 366. January soybean bids at 973 to 1002. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 346 to 373. January soybean bids 981 to 1015. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 543 up to 583. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 168.62, down $1.32. February live cattle, 169.05, down $1.80. April live cattle, 168.75, down $1.15. January feeder cattle, 235.55, up $1.47. March feeder cattle, 233.47, up 27 cents. April feeder cattle, 234.37, up 60 cents. December lean hogs, 89.50, down 62 cents. February lean hogs, 89, up 7 cents. April lean hogs, 91, down 70 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture, with Tuesday, the second afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 79 cents higher, in a range of $75 to $88, with a weighted average carcass price of $85.92. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading $1 to $3 lower, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 60 to 64, 4 to 5 weight at 63 to 68, 5 to 6 weight at 65 to 70, and over 600 pounds, 69 to 72. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gelts at country buying points are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $56 to $62. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 12,543. The opening report for United Producers Livestock Auction had estimated receipts of $497. Compared to last week, steers and heifers were $1 to $1.50 lower. Holstein steers were $2.50 to $3 lower in a light test. Slaughter steers choice at $169 to $174.50. Steers select and choice $161 to $166.50. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at $155 to $158.50. And slaughter heifers choice at $169, and slaughter heifers select and choice at $164 to $168. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on the dress basis traded at $262 to $267. Heifers on a dress basis traded at $270. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 343 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $92.16, which is $1.76 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $256.36, which was $1.12 lower, with select carcasses at $243.66, which was $1.68 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under cattle federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 111,000 compared to 117,000 for last week and 122,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 430,000 compared to 434,000 last week and 438,000 1 year ago. The Arthur Sale Barn Weekly Hay Report for Monday, December 1st, trading was active with good demand for moderate offerings. Receipts were 1,109 bales or 82 tons. Alfalfa premium quality small squares at 6 1/4 to $7.50. Large squares 3x3s at $115 per bale. Good quality alfalfa small squares at $4.75 to $5.50. Large squares 3x3s at $65 a bale. Alfalfa orchard grass, good quality small squares at $5.75 a bale. Alfalfa mixed grass, good quality small squares at $4 a bale. And large squares 3x3s at $42 to $46. Mixed grass, good quality small squares at 4 1/4 to $4.75. Large rounds 5x5s at $40 to $50. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. December corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.69. January corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.75. December corn delivered to Scottville, $3.60. January corn delivered to Scottville, $3.66. December and January beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.01. December and January beans delivered to Scottville, $10.01. December wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.80. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $3.69, corn at Scottville is $3.60, beans at Greenfield and Scottville are $10.01, and wheat at Scottville is $5.80. That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, the markets are reacting to a new phase in their environment. We're looking at a stronger dollar at new 4.5-year highs and preparing to test major chart resistance in that area. A global economy that's slowing down. The U.S. economy is showing signs of concerns as well. but it's the best looking of the bad options, so to speak. So global investors are coming to U.S. dollar. We're seeing fund money come out of the major commodity complex. That is adding to some of the pressure on the grains. We still have tight upfront supplies of corn and soybeans because demand is strong and farmers aren't selling, but traders are starting to look ahead to a big South American harvest with nearly ideal weather down there for production. And so it's becoming increasingly difficult to sustain gains right now in the corn and soybean market, and that's starting to make this market feel heavier as we head into a holiday period known for its lack of news, and prices tend to just kind of grind lower between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
And you did briefly mention South America and their crop conditions. Over the winter months, we mainly focus on South America. Would you care to go over how they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a few areas that are excessively wet. That would be primarily in Argentina and primarily in southern and eastern Buenos Aires. Other areas are getting good rains. We have had some planting delays, particularly in that area of Argentina. But overall, right now, it's not looking to be significant. As we move north into Brazil, we're seeing good rains across much of the area. Here again, a few isolated areas of excessive rains. That overall, the models, which are calling for excessive rains, have been underperforming. And so we're just getting good, normal rains in order to support good yield potential across most all areas of Brazil's primary grain-growing areas. So corn and soybean yield potential looks good at this point. And so yield potential, overall production looking good. And the markets are starting to factor that in. As we look further into the late December through January, early February, that's really the critical growing season. At this point, we don't see any problems on the horizon, but that can obviously always develop. But for now, production seems to be pretty good in South America.
And earlier you mentioned that upfront supplies seem kind of tight because farmers currently aren't selling. When do you see farmers starting to sell their big crop again? Come January, waiting till after Christmas?
Well, farmers have been waiting for the new tax year in order to sell. However, I don't think that's the major factor right now because we do have deferred pricing contracts that allow them to price ahead of time. I'm not a fan of them because I think they do harm to the market overall. But that option is available, but they simply don't like the prices. They've become used to higher prices. They don't like these prices, and so far they've been financially healthy enough that they haven't had to sell. So how long can they go without selling? As I look back at some previous years, I saw that we had big crops and similar type conditions. I saw that the pressure really didn't come until we got into the springtime, and then we got to a point where the coming growing season looked good, favorable for getting the crops planted and established, prices starting to work lower, and farmers needed some income for spring planting and lost hope in getting higher prices. And so then they started to dump on the market, and the market came under the weight of that added selling plus South American selling at the same time, and that's when we tended to get the pressure. I would hope that we not get to that situation. I fear that's the case that we may be, that the pressure would come next spring. Obviously, if we were to see a major weather problem develop, we could save our way out of this, so to speak, and get by with the waiting, but right now we don't see those threats. So if we were to see that scenario unfold, we'd probably see lower prices than we would otherwise.
So what is your recommendation to farmers then as they look for an opportunity to sell their crop that's in the bins?
Well, a couple of factors you look at. First is the overall futures price, and then is the flat price or cash price and the basis in between. There's big differences across the Midwest in what that basis is and whether it's strengthened or not. But for the most part, what we're seeing is the lack of farmer selling. I think we're seeing some opportunities to lock in some basis in many markets. And if we can do that, we want to be able to take advantage of that now, because come spring, if we see that increased flow, I think we could see a dramatic drop in basis going on down the road. We can always try to recover a recovery in the futures price or something like that, but basis is hard to recover. once it goes down. And the other thing is obviously the futures market. I think some downside price protection is warranted. The traders are finding it increasingly difficult to justify corn prices above $3.80 and soybean prices above $10 when we're looking at a 2 billion bushel corn carryout and a 450 million bushel soybean carryout. I actually think it'll be tighter than that, but still it's going to be excessive. And with the, as long as we don't have any weather problems in South America, it's going to become increasingly difficult to hold prices at these levels. And then you eventually have not just North American selling, but North and South American farmers selling coming in at the same time. And we could really see the, both the futures and basis drop at that point.
So if they're waiting for $6, it's just not going to happen.
Well, let me put perspective on it. Global demand for corn and soybeans is strong. It is very strong. Domestic demand for corn and soybeans is strong. Livestock herds are down, but they're coming back, and overall demand is strong. Ethanol demand is strong. Overall, the crush demand for soybeans is strong. There is nothing wrong with demand, but the world has become comfortable with just-in-time supplies. And we have done a point of production, such a good job of producing, that we've gone above just-in-time supplies. If we were to have a major weather hiccup somewhere in the world, either here or south of the equator, we could very quickly see corn prices back at $6 and soybeans back to $14 or $15. But if we don't have that hiccup in production, we're simply going to be adding to that surplus of supplies and pushing prices lower because the trade is very comfortable with the supplies that we have. And right now, since we don't see any signs of production problems on either side of the equator, our downside risk has to be our greatest concern.
Definitely makes for an interesting environment.
Well, it does. We built a lot of equity in our farms over the last 6, 7, 8 years, and we want to make sure that we protect that equity now when we have the opportunity. I am bullish about agriculture long term. I think it's going to give us great opportunities. Even as the global economy slows down, demand for food, the food commodities, I think, will remain strong. But we're going to have to work a little bit harder in order to claim those opportunities than what we've had to in recent years. And we just simply need to have that mindset and take charge of the situation, have a plan and work that plan and make it work for us.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. On Tuesday, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau hosted meetings on the new Farm Bill and the farm safety net programs it contains. I caught up with the Senior Director of Affiliate and Risk Management with the Illinois Farm Bureau, Doug Yoder, who was a presenter at these meetings.
To start with, landowners have a decision in front of them. Landowners get to decide should they reallocate their base acreage or keep it as they currently have it at FSA. Secondly, landowners get to consider updating their payment yield or keeping the current yield at FSA. Both of those are very important decisions because all the payments in this farm bill are based on base acreage and payment yields. So those are important decisions. Now, a landowner also should be aware that if they have a power of attorney that they've granted authority to someone else, that person can make these decisions for them. The second process is producers, somebody has a share in that farm, gets to make a very important decision on choosing one of three safety net options. Price loss coverage, which is a target price program, price coverage only. Option two is a county level revenue program called ARC County. ARC stands for Ag Risk Coverage. The third option is a farm level ag risk revenue coverage. It's a whole farm concept, though, so that's something I'd ask farmers to consider, that it's a whole farm concept instead of crop by crop.
Now, for PLC, ARC by county, and ARC for the individual farm basis, it's too much to go into in one interview here, hence why you're having these sessions in all different counties. So can you just go through kind of the main considerations you want farmers to think of when they're looking at each of these different programs?
Absolutely. The first one and easiest to understand is PLC. It's a target price program only. It simply protects farmers, gives farmers a price protection that if the yearly average price dips below certain levels for different crops, a payment would be due for that price differential. Pretty easy to understand. The advantage, the main advantage to that program is if you do update payment yields at FSA and you get a much higher yield now, that program, PLC, is the only one that will use that higher yield. So that's a major consideration. The second option is called ARC County. It's a revenue-based option. When I talk to Illinois farmers, they prefer revenue coverage, not price-only coverage. ARC County is a county-level revenue program taking the Olympic average of county yields in a yearly in the market year average price to give us a county revenue and guarantee. The main advantage to ARC County is the price guarantee that we're offered. Year one, it's $5.29 on corn compared to $3.70 target price for PLC. So the price component is much higher for ARC County for year one and year two. And then the third choice is the individual coverage on farm level ARC IC. That's a third option for farm level coverage. The big trade-off there is, again, they will combine all your crops into one guarantee. It's a whole farm guarantee. That's somewhat unique to Illinois farmers. We're not used to that, so they have to evaluate that, see if they like that sort of coverage. And then a big drawback is the first two programs, ARC County and PLC, pay us on 85% of our base acres. ARC IC only pays us on 65% of our base acres. So if there's a farm out there that likes ARC IC, it has to technically work 20% better to break even as far as the lot to cover that loss in payment acres.
And farmers are also going to have to keep in deadlines for everything. So can you go over what the deadlines are?
Absolutely. The first two processes as far as landowner decisions on base and yield updates, that deadline is February 27th. They have to get into the FSA office by February 27th to make this decision. The ARC PLC decision by FSA farm number, that process is open until the end of March, March 31st.
And there's also an interesting thing that conservation compliance is now being tied to crop insurance for the first time since 1996. Is that right?
That is correct. And farmers are used to dealing with conservation compliance on their farm bill eligibility. How, as you mentioned, though, this is the first time we've had it tied to crop insurance eligibility since 96. And what's at stake here is if a farmer is found non-compliant with conservation plans, he would lose his crop insurance subsidies. And these premiums are very expensive in crop insurance and they're highly subsidized. So if I'm found out of compliance, I would lose all those subsidies. I could still buy crop insurance. I'm just not sure I could afford it because I'd have to pay the entire premium by myself.
Again, that was Senior Director of Affiliate and Risk Management with the Illinois Farm Bureau, Doug Yoder. The Macoupin County Farm Service Agency will also be hosting Farm Bill informational meetings. These meetings will be held on Wednesday, December 10th, one at 2 p.m. and the other at 7 p.m. in the KC Hall in Carlinville. If you have any questions about that meeting, you can contact the Macoupin County FSA office at 217-854-2626. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.